Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today on a Football Friday. And a unique Football Friday because we get to talk about a Cleveland Browns win. The Bud Light fridges are open. People are happy, calling in sick today, I'm sure. I went out to watch the game myself last night. I wish I could call in sick. Just kidding. Love Football Fridays. But Dane, you and I were talking just as we got started with this show. 635 days since the last win. My daughter was a little baby then. And Baker Mayfield, it took about two throws, maybe even the first throw, before he realized, well, he's the starter. And that was it. I could tell right away from that first drive. I'm not even being sanctimonious about it. There was just an electricity that he brought to the offense, and he displayed his as critical as I have been of him. And it isn't greatly critical. I just like Darnold more, not last night, but in general. The one thing I would always have said that was positive about Baker is that he is very accurate. In the Big 12, it is difficult to sometimes discern what is supreme accuracy and what is defenses just laying off of guys and then playing what amounts to flag football at times. But he displayed his accuracy last night, going 17 of 23. He led four scoring drives. So Baker looked the part last night, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was watching the game. As you know, I'm a Jets fan, so I was watching it, sweating with everybody else. But and also, by the way, the 3.5-point spread, and they win by four? Are you effing kidding me? But in any event, I digress. I was watching the game, and to your point, Blewett, Baker Mayfield comes in there, throws like Jarvis Landry in the seam, David Njoku down the seam, and right away, you're like, whoa. That looked different, you know? I mean, you could tell by watching, and you can't say that for most quarterbacks. I mean, you see it with Patty Mahomes, maybe, but, like, he really spins it. They made the point on the telecast that the revolutions on his ball, it just looked different, but then you're absolutely right. The energy, not only from the crowd that were ready to go, but you could see Carlos Hyde running harder, offensive linemen, you know, getting fired up. Jarvis Landry, you know, kind of feeling reinvented. If you saw that, he finished with, what was it? I believe 8 for 103 and was expressing frustration in the first half. But to your point, you know, blew it all the way back to college. You know, you're right. In the Big 12, you never can tell because they play those spread offenses and there's no defense. But I look at PFF grades a lot, Pro Football Focus, and they have Baker Mayfield. Percentage, you know, they last were really year. High on Baker Mayfield. Exactly. And there were some throws he made that when they had like kind of the all 22 angle or behind, you saw he was fitting the ball into some tight windows. He was making good throws. The Baker Mayfield era has begun.
Yeah. I mean, Baker was the most accurate quarterback in college for the last two seasons. Last year, he threw for 70.5% completion percentage, 4,300 yards. That's in, I guess he played on
12 games?
12, 13, 14.
Yeah, because he was in the semifinal.
He won the Big 12. Big 12
championship and the semifinal.
Exactly. So that's in 14 games, plus 43 touchdowns, I believe, to 6 interceptions. So the stats are inarguable, but he was the most accurate quarterback in college for the last two seasons. It isn't phony numbers. I've always been worried about these Big 12 quarterbacks. But I've been saying all during the offseason, Mahomes and Mayfield are going to have a chance to prove me wrong. The case studies aren't there for the Big 12 quarterbacks being really successful in college, but so far so good, really, through week three of this NFL season. You know, another key point in the Browns, maybe getting on a little bit of a I'm not going to call it a run here. They get their first win, but what's indicative of them possibly picking up more wins is their ability to turn the ball over. We talked about last year a minus 28 turnover differential last year, which is nearly impossible to do. They turned the ball over 40 times last year. Last night, they're plus 3 on turnovers. They are plus 9 on the season through 3 weeks, and they had 4 more sacks last night, which is indicative of their ability to rush the passer and, frankly, the Jets' inability to protect Darnold. It created a rough night for Darnold. I thought he had a lot of sloppy throws. He had 2 picks in the last 2 minutes of the game, plus he had in the first half went through the hands of the defender. So, on the one hand, the Browns are playing much better defense, but, you know, Darnold didn't look too sharp last night.
Yeah, and that, to be honest, you know, everyone's going to talk about the Browns and Baker, and rightfully so. That is the lead that the victory fridges have been opened. But Darnold did not look good last night. 15 of 31, 169. It really looked like if they were not throwing like the quick screen to Quincy Enunwa, they didn't have much in the offense. I will say this, though. Enunwa is someone, if you don't have him yet, if he's still available, you need to go out and get Quincy Enunwa. He is the number one wide receiver for the New York Jets. They are finding ways to get him the ball. Sam Darnold, it is his first, second, and third read to go to Enunwa. No, Darnold didn't look good, but I believe Enunwa is a sustainable back-end wide receiver too for the rest of the season. And, you know, the inverse of that is that Josh McCown isn't slinging it downfield for this team anymore. So, Mike, I think Robbie Anderson is cuttable.
I think that's a fair point. And Enunwa only 4 of 57, but he does see 8 targets last night. I think the unfortunate part for this Jets offense, and you as a Jets fan, is it's really conservative right now.
It is.
They are not throwing balls at any length from the line of scrimmage right now. And it's not that Darnold can't throw it. It's just that clearly the offense isn't comfortable doing it right now, whether it's due to a lack of protection or Darnold's confidence in throwing a deep ball right now. At this moment, you're right. And Enunwa is really the only guy that's ownable in the entire passing game. The other targets went 6 for Jermaine Kearse. You had 3 for Terrell Pryor, 4 for Robbie Anderson, 3 for Isaiah Crowell. And Isaiah Crowell ends up having a good night. I said to Dane, because I did bench Isaiah Crowell in one league, I have to chalk that out. I played him in another one. I actually played him and Carlos Hyde in one league where I have them both. It's a deep league, though, so it wasn't that much. It wasn't that great of a decision. It's just that's what I have to do almost every week. So it's a process over results thing for me last night in benching Crowell, because he has the 2 touchdowns and he ends up having a very productive fantasy night. But the 18 touches for 51 yards wasn't inspiring at all. In fact, Bilal Powell, to your point that you made before we even got on air, he looked to be the better back last night. He sees 14 touches to Crowell's 18, but he picks up 73 yards. He's more efficient. And I didn't think Crowell looked terrible, but they didn't really do a good job of breaking him out. They just got him the ball in the red zone, which is a positive for Crowell owners because that may continue to happen throughout the season.
Yeah, but, you know, that revenge factor kind of idea was there. When they got in close, it looked like they really wanted to make sure Crowell got in the end zone, and he did. You know, when they were inside the 10, I think, you know, even out of the shotgun, they gave it to Crowell like 2 or 3 times in a row for that second touchdown. What I will say, though, next week, these Jets face the Jacksonville Jaguars. Oh, and if Sam Darnold can't threaten anybody downfield, guys like A.J. Bouye, guys like Jalen Ramsey are going to be all over these Jets wide receivers who are not as dynamic. You know, Enunwa, they've talked about as a running back in a wide receiver's body. And these running backs, yeah, Bilal Powell looked decent, but I'm a little bit concerned with the Jets. You know, 1-2 now. They have Jacksonville next week. So maybe this shine is coming off the Sam Darnold Rose. I do think the Baker Mayfield thing is interesting because they were energized there and looking a lot different. I wonder if you bump up, Mike, guys like David Njoku and Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, certainly Landry.
I'm intrigued by Njoku, though. I really am.
Yeah, only the 2 targets last night, but I will say that I think that's a fair point to get more excited about this passing game because, I mean, the guy came in the middle of a game and he was deadly accurate and he led them to 4 scoring drives. I think you can feel good about the fact that they will potentially, 4 scoring drives? Yeah, was it 4? Yeah, the field goal. sorry, field goal. No.
He had
two field goals, right? Yeah, two.
That's
field
right.
Goals.
And then the 2-point conversion they caught up.
That's
yeah,
right.
Two field goals, two touchdowns. Yep.
Right. So, so I would say you can feel energized about his ability to move the ball down the field. And Carlos Hyde had a really good night. 25 touches, 103 yards, and two touchdowns. It wasn't crazy, but if you're going to complain, it wasn't crazy efficiency wise. But if you're going to complain about nights like that, then I don't know what to tell you. Carlos Hyde was a pretty good start last night. Jarvis Landry, we mentioned before, 8 for 103, the 15 targets. Mm-hmm. I love Jarvis Landry. I recommend owning him all the time. I've told you in the past, that's my approach, especially in PPR leagues. I'll worry about the touchdowns later, and I just want the guy with the ball on his hands. And this guy's seen the ball 15 times a game, and I think it's clear that Tyrod liked him, and now Baker likes him too, so you're not going to lose anything in the quarterback change. Last thing I would say for the Browns is that not only are they playing good defense, but their punter buried two punts inside the 5-yard line last night. It's just they got a really complete effort. I know it started off clunky with Tyrod Taylor, but they made the switch, and they played way better in the final three quarters last night.
Yeah, absolutely. And to your other point there, the idea like the touchdowns come later, you want the guys with the ball in his hands. With Baker under center, or Baker in the shotgun, as more kind of an accurate representation.
Yes.
What about my, I've been talking to you and others about Rashad Higgins vis-a-vis Callaway, right? Callaway is clearly the deep threat, and he got behind Tremaine Johnson in the first half. Tyrod underthrew him, right? But, in the second half, when Baker's slinging it to everybody, you know, Rashad Higgins did serve as kind of like a chain mover, whereas Callaway is the best ball kind of over the top guy. I'm not crazy with my Rashad Higgins, especially if this passing offense is going to look better. You know, Callaway had the four catches, but Higgins has more yards. I would really keep an eye on Higgins also as this kind of like number two guy opposite Jarvis Landry, especially if this offense is going to look like it did under Baker.
But as we're talking through this, you're feeling positive about, in my estimation, too many guys. I still want
right.
to concentrate.
It can only be spread around so far.
That's right. I want to focus on Hyde and Landry in that offense, and I do think Callaway is the other guy to own. Now, you have a point about Njoku. If they're going to be generating more scoring drives, I think Njoku is somebody
Red
whose
zone.
Value increases. But I can't get all the way down to Higgins because I think Callaway is the guy after Landry, not Higgins. So I just don't want to go too deep
right.
in this offense.
So here's my thing, though. Here's the analogy I'll make. It's to the Tampa Bay offense, right? To me, Callaway is the DeSean Jackson, and Higgins is the Chris Godwin. And so the Tampa Bay offense has been ridiculous with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think that's going to come down to earth to be an average offense. If the Cleveland Browns move up to be an average offense, then I think the analogy kind of holds. To me, Callaway's the DeSean Jackson, and Njoku is the O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate. And to me, Rashad Higgins plays this Chris Godwin role that some people believe are fantasy viable. I'm saying that's possible. I'm not saying that go on out and pick up Rashad Higgins. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying he deserves to maybe be on the radar. Exactly. Yeah. I would analogize him to a Chris Godwin.
Yeah, I got it. So I understand that. So put him on your watch list. But if you got to pick a guy up and you need somebody, Callaway's the guy versus Higgins, because they've both been available on waiver wires this week. So if you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports but are sick of dealing with pros using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. So forget having to create multiple lineups and ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Just invest in players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can elect an option to receive a 50% deposit bonus with a rollover requirement. So no more dealing with late lineup scratches, no experts to compete against. It's just you and the prop that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon sign up, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag. Promo code FNTSY. So there you go. Sorry, buddy. You're a victim of the Browns' first victory. It's not great. Look, they were going to win some games. I know you've been pointing at this one. You didn't want it to be the Jets. I actually thought the Jets could win last night. To your point, it was right on the number. I actually thought the Browns could win and not cover last night.
That's exactly what I thought, too. I was worried that I'd get middled between my fandom and the spread.
Yeah.
But it was even worse.
Yeah. So, but look, if you're a Jets fan, you can't be bummed that it's the Browns. I think you're bummed that Darnold didn't play well. I think that's the really big bad thing for the Jets. They couldn't protect him, and he didn't play well.
I think that's true. If I'm looking for silver linings, it's the fact that on the road on a short week of Thursday night football, regardless of the opponent, is a tough spot anyway. So I have a number of reasons. And, you know, I mean, we all got – everyone got swept up on Baker Mayfield wave, you know. So that turned out to be a very hostile environment that Darnold was playing in. So I can find excuses. I can find reasons to kind of throw this tape out, you know. But the concerning part to me is more that Darnold put the ball at risk, and there were more turnover-worthy kind of throws than even the two interceptions that were out there. So I think he's got to get that fixed up. And unfortunately, against Jacksonville next week is not going to be the prime situation to do so.
Totally agree. And so that's the deal. In the next segment, we're going to take we'll open up the phone lines a little bit later in the show for you to get your calls in. We'll do that at 8:40. So give us a call in about 20 minutes or so, and we'll take some calls if you need to, if you have any questions, lineup questions. We'll do our picks in the next segment, Survivor Pick, three against the spread. I'm woefully underprepared for that, but I will tough it out and do it during the break. Let's just take a – we'll throw a game out there that we didn't get a chance to talk about yesterday because we highlighted Falcons Saints a little bit yesterday. That's an all-hands-on-deck kind of game. You and I both said that. This is the type of game indoors. Doesn't matter which building, whether it's New Orleans or Atlanta. These teams are playing on a fast track, and you want to start everybody. But the next game, real quick, Broncos at Ravens. I think this is an interesting one because the Broncos have actually looked pretty good so far, 2-0, better than I suspected. They were the type of team, as we got later in the preseason, Dane, that I started to warm up to because so many people thought they were going to be positive and people were hammering the Broncos over that I started to take another look at it. We still can't figure out the Royce Freeman, Philip Lindsay thing because Lindsay appears to be in front on that depth chart, but nonetheless, give me a couple of guys that you think could pop in this Broncos-Ravens game.
Yeah, in this Broncos-Ravens game, I like Manny Sanders. I think Manny Sanders has been the guy for the Denver Broncos over Demaryius Thomas. You know, so that's the guy I'm going to give you. I like Manny Sanders in this game. I can't figure out the running backs. Blewett, you know, is it Lindsay or do they go back to a guy like Royce Freeman, maybe against a more like physical defense in Baltimore, you know? So Manny Sanders is the guy for me. The only other guy I'll give you, I think you mentioned him as a deep waiver target. I could see a universe where Jake Butt starts to get
more targets.
Dane.
I was just going to bring it up.
Yeah,
that's what I'm
with you
about.
On that. I can see him ascending as the season goes along a little bit.
Jake Butt,
I'm on it with you.
He's absolutely a sleeper right now.
Yeah.
If you need some tight end help,
people out there do.
Jake Butt. So, yeah, no kidding. His position's always a mess. So Jake Butt's somebody to consider. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about that game, and do our picks. Dane and Mike on FSE will be back right after the break on the thing.
There's only one place to listen to the best fantasy advice, and that's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. By downloading the FNTSY Radio Network app, you'll be blessed with having the top fantasy experts right in your pocket. You'll get award-winning and entertaining programs like The Roto Experts.
Let's cock-a-doodle-do it.
Fantasy Best Friends Forever.
Yo!
Carton and Friends.
Yeah, buddy!
And so much more.
You feel what I'm saying?
Download the FNTSY Sports Radio Network app now and take the most trusted fantasy experts with you wherever you go.
All right, Mike and Dane, it's FST. And if you want to reach out to us, then please do so on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Dane is at Spittin' Speeds. And for those of you listening on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, thank you for downloading it. Rate and subscribe, rate, download for free if you don't have it already. Free to download, free to listen, Dane. And we're going to open up the phone lines in a little bit. But before that, Fantasy Factor is the only DFS site with exclusively single-entry contests. It's a fun and recreational place to play with smaller leagues and flatter prize pools. They have great free promos like Survivor, Super Bowl, Squares, and March Madness Bracket Contest. So sign up today. Go to FantasyFactor.com. That's FantasyFactor.com. I'll take a quick moment for us to say on behalf of the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and myself and Dane, obviously our thoughts and prayers are with the people affected by the shooting yesterday in Maryland. I think we have to talk about these things way too often. This is a fun show. It's a fantasy show, but I don't want that to go unnoticed. I don't want people to think our priorities aren't in check. We try to have fun here, and these tragedies are happening all too often, whether it's hurricanes or shootings or the like. Hurricanes we can't prevent. Shootings, hopefully we can more so in the future. So I just wanted to take a moment to say that, Dane.
Absolutely. Mike, you know, as you mentioned, a lot of people use our show and fantasy sports and sports in general as a reprieve from this ridiculous world that we live in. So I thank you for always, keeping us grounded, Mike.
Yeah, no problem. So let's get back to football and get back to fun. All right, let's do the Survivor picks first. I'm really unprepared on the spread thing. So what did you and Scotty go with?
Sure. You know how Scotty says I take the quote-unquote easy one? Well, I'm still alive, you know, so that's all that matters. And I'm going to – listen, I know people talk all the time about like, oh, I'm going to save this team. I'm not going to do that at all. Give me Minnesota this week, Blewett. I mean, come on. Man, they are 17-point favorites. I always say also that the non-conference road games – you know, in a vacuum, are always hard for teams. You only have two non-conference road games every year, and those are really tough ones to win. We know about this Buffalo Bills offense. We know about Josh Allen under center. We know about the offensive line. Shady McCoy is banged up. He was in a red non-contact jersey. I actually believe the prudent things for the Bills to do is rest McCoy this week if he's banged up, because I don't think they got a shot of winning this game either. Neither does Vegas. I'm taking the Minnesota Vikings. I'll be damned if I am going to save Minnesota and get banged out, especially because I always want to take a home team. I always want to take a non-divisional opponent, you know, so Minnesota at home against the non-NFC North team. These are one of the 5 weeks I would have wanted to take Minnesota anyway, and you got the Bills coming to town. This is a no-brainer for me. It's Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't want to overthink it. I do think that the Patriots are a good option here. Belichick dominates his former assistants for the most part. So I do like the Pats going on the road against Detroit. And I also like Philly coming back. I think they will be energized by Carson Wentz. I don't know how Wentz is going to play. I think it's actually a tough start in some regards. I have a league where I have Wentz and Luck facing off against one another.
Facing each other.
The Daily Roto projections have Wentz well in front of Luck. So I'm going to go with Wentz here. But I'm not going to overthink it. I'm just going to go with you here with the Vikings, the 17-point favorite, Josh Allen on the road. I can't see a world where I don't care if Dalvin Cook doesn't even play at all. I can't see a world where they're able to protect him against what is arguably the best defensive front seven in the whole league. So, you know, they're up there. Philly and Dallas and a couple other teams that can really get after the passers. Yeah. So I'm going to go with the Vikings here. I just can't see Allen going on the road and getting his first win. So give me the Vikings with what you do. So Scott picked another hard game. Which one did he go with?
You know what? I'm with Scotty this time. I think he's going to get a win in Survivor. I'm with him because his Survivor pick, I am in fact making as one of my picks against the spread in their favorites. So I got to agree with Scotty. He went with the Miami Dolphins to go 3-0. They have the Oakland Raiders coming to town. West Coast flying to East for the 1 o'clock start. We all think that the Gruden, we just talked about Gruden, doesn't have a pass rush. You know, he said in that press conference, it's real hard to find a pass rusher. Too bad he decided to cast one aside in Khalil Mack. But, you know, their defense is not getting pressure. Their offense looks like it's still trying to find itself. They got to travel West Coast to East for the 1 o'clock game. And if, you know, if there's not pressure on Ryan Tannehill, there's not huge skill players there, but I think they have enough to get it done against Miami. The 3 points don't scare me either. Scott went with Miami as a Survivor pick, so I think he gets on the schneid, off the schneid. And I actually just changed it. One of my picks, I actually just made Miami -3 against the Raiders, one of my picks as well, replacing a pick that I had. So I'd want to get your thoughts on both, if which one I should prioritize. Miami -3 I like. I also was considering Saints +3 at Atlanta. Which one of those do you like better, Mike?
I like the Dolphins game much better. I've been talking about this game, week three, for like a month. And I was trying to do the thing. I've said this before. The sharp bettors were on Miami over six. It opened at over six.
You said
over
this with the schedule, yeah.
Yeah, like 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, the sharp bettors hammered Miami over, and it pushed it up to 6.5, which got me itchy about picking it in my over-under competition. Mm-hmm. But the reason they picked it is because of the way this September laid out. They got two teams in Tennessee and the Raiders traveling into a really hot scenario in Miami. The Raiders are going to be wearing those black jerseys coming all the way across the country, playing at 1 o'clock. The Raiders, by the way, if you look at those stats about the West Coast teams traveling east and playing at 1 o'clock, the numbers are really bad. And you know why?
Yeah.
It's because of the Raiders. It's because of, it's real, but it's because of the Raiders. The Raiders' record is so bad that it makes the Chargers and the Niners and all the other teams look like chumps. But it's because the Raiders, we forget, maybe now, the Raiders were completely inept for about a decade. You know, once after the 2002 Super Bowl, the Raiders, we have to remember, they completely fell apart.
They were bad in any time zone, in any stadium. Yes, it didn't matter, right?
So their record is horrendous in these games. Now, new coach, the whole thing, new regime, but I'm taking Dolphins -3. I wish it was 2.5. Because I could see this being a push, conceivably.
Right.
But I like the Dolphins to win this game, so I'm not going to mess around. I'll take the team that I think is going to win at home.
All right, absolutely. So, listen, all three of us now have as one of our picks Miami -3 against the Raiders. And, yeah, I know, right? So that's the only thing that makes me nervous about it.
Scott is all the three of us, these right now.
Right. All three of us have Miami -3, and Scott went so far as to make the Dolphins his survivor pick. I'm on it with you guys. I just think that, you know, it sets up for us to all look like fools. All right.
Scott's picks are turning him into that guy, the mush from The Bronx Tale, the movie The Bronx
it's
Tale.
It's true. You and I are .500 with our picks. We both went 2-1 in week one and 1-2 in week two. So we're both 3-3. Scott's 2-4. He went 1-2 both weeks. I'm at least 2-0 with my survivor picks. You're 1-1 with your survivor picks, losing with the Saints in week one. Scott's 0-2, but he's got the Dolphins. So hopefully for all of us, he gets off the schneid. Let me give you my two other
the fantasy
ATS
expert
picks.
Being 0-2 in survivor picks is not inspiring a lot of confidence in our audience, I don't think. But I can't make fun of him because I also am 1-1. I will say,
yeah, you're banged out of survivor.
In my survivor pool, where I am, have a little bit of money, a little cash on the line, I'm still alive. You know, I'm doing okay. I had the Rams last week, I believe. No, I had the Saints last week, and they squeaked it out against the Browns.
Yeah, that was my survivor pick last week, also with Cleveland. Yeah. The victory fridges stayed closed on that one. All right, let me give you my two last other ones, and then we can get to yours in this segment, Mike. So I already given you Miami. I've officially changed to Miami -3 being one of my picks. My other two, and here's the thing, Scott's on this one with me also. So I'll get your thoughts on it in a second.
I got to go. I'm on the Chargers.
Yeah, I know. I'm on the Chargers this week, +7.5. Against the Rams. Here's why, Blewett. One, Battle of L.A., you know, so it's not really the home field, right? Two, for me, is 7.5, more than a touchdown. I love the hook there. That's just a little too much for me for Phillip Rivers' offense. I think maybe the back door could be open in this game. And honestly, the Rams have looked like one of the most impressive teams in the NFL. I'll give you that. But they played the Cardinals and the Raiders, Blewett. You know, I think the Chargers represent a significant step up in class. I think the Rams could win this game, but giving more than a touchdown is a little bit too much to me in a game that there is no real home team. So I'm going to take the Chargers. They were my Super Bowl pick, for God's sakes. And you're telling me I can get them with more than a touchdown? I'll take it. Give me the Chargers +7.5 in their home city. Scott's on it as well. What do you think?
I think because of the spread, it makes sense, but I think the Rams could pull that off. I'm going to stay away from that game, but.
Okay. I mean, I think the Rams could win. I just don't think it's a blow. I don't think it's a touchdown, more than a touchdown.
Yeah, but I don't know. I could see it being a 10-point win. I wouldn't pick it. Okay. So I don't feel comfortable picking it. If you made me pick, I would actually pick the Rams in that one.
Okay.
But I'm going to stay away on that.
So you're staying really away on that one?
I really wish the Eagles or the Pats had a half a point going in their direction. Giving the exact touchdown is rough for me. So the next place I'm going to go, I'll admit, It's a slight homer pick, but if they if they lose this game, then I'll admit that I don't have a feel for this particular Steelers team. But in the past, the Steelers have been good in these scenarios. Back against the wall, they absolutely have to win this game. They are now favored, which I don't love them being favored.
I see it as one, right?
On
minus
Monday
one?
Night. Yes, but it's effectively, you know, a pick 'em. Yeah. I don't expect it to be a one-point game, so I'll take the Steelers giving one to the Bucks on the road on Monday night.
Okay, so you have Miami minus three. You have Pittsburgh minus one on the road. For my third pick, I told you I'm doing something new this week. I'm looking at Monday Night Football. Listen, Mike, there were these four games that had totals of 54 or more. We've talked about them. Saints-Falcons with a huge total. Lions-Pats with a huge total. We talked about Kansas City-San Francisco, huge total. This game is also, the number I see here is 54. Honestly, Mike, I just think that's too many. I'm taking the under on this one, and because on both sides, I think that we're seeing changes from last week. On the Pittsburgh side, listen, Big Ben put it up 60 times last week against the Kansas City Chiefs because they were forced into that track meet by Patty Mahomes. I don't know that that's the case this week. I think to your point, the Steelers defense is better than people are saying, despite the loss of Ryan Shazier. Yeah, maybe they don't have that coverage guy, that sideline to sideline guy, but I still think they're an average defense. And I think that they're going to run the ball more. I think they're going to run the clock a little bit more. I think they get James Conner back working in this one. And then on the other side with Tampa, I'm just playing the law of averages, okay? I think, what is it? I think it's Occam's razor, where it's like the most likely thing is what should in fact happen. And I believe that, listen, Fitzmagic is going to come back down to earth. He's going to start throwing the ball to the opponents. And I just think 54 is way too much. I could see this being a 27-24 game, but that's under. I can see this being a 27-20 game, but that's under. I think it falls short mostly because of the Steelers running the ball a little bit more. Give me under 54 for Monday Night Football.
I can see that. I think it's a really good call on that bet. I'm really struggling with my third one because I'm looking at some of these totals. I really like this Packers-Washington game to go over 45.5. Mm-hmm. I think that.
Yeah.
But I still don't know what Rodgers' health is. I mean, he played the whole game last week, but, you know, it seems to be like a constant complaint. Like, maybe.
And he's going on the road, too.
Yeah. So, man, I like the Packers to win that game. I really like the Pats to win, but 7 on the road, like, that's crazy. Like, nobody would tell you to be like, yeah, you should bang the touchdown favorite road.
Favorite, exactly, yeah.
I should be scared away from that. But Belichick really does dominate that's a high over, too. That's 54.
54, yeah. I'm looking at the under on that one also. Do you think there's anything, Mike, and maybe this is just me playing an angle out a little too much. You were saying how, you know, former coaches really do bad against Belichick, but there's a lot of unrest in Detroit, right? It's kind of unraveling a little bit. Do you think there's a heart in Bill Belichick at all? Like, if they're up 24-3, you think they take their foot off the gas pedal at all to save Patricia's job?
I mean, I don't see it playing out that way, but I don't see it playing out because of that. But
sure.
I think they might not put their throat on them in the entire fourth quarter.
And to my point, this is where I think the Sony Michel breakout happens. That's them running the ball in the second half.
Yeah, I think that could happen. I think there's an absolute possibility. So the implied total here would be, let's see, 30 to 24.
That's 54. Yeah, that's the number.
30-24. That's sort of what they're looking at there.
I mean, yeah.
Lions are not going to do that. Lions are not going to keep pace with them. That would be a garbage time type of game.
Backdoor kind of stuff. Yeah, backdoor coverage kind of stuff.
All right, well, I'm really struggling with this third pick. That Washington Packers thing looks good to me. I really should pick an underdog somewhere in here. You already have yours with the
Chargers. What about Arizona? Like Arizona, Chicago? We were talking off air on that, you know. But then again, you're thinking about a touchdown road dog. Home dog almost.
You know what I would do in that game?
I would tease it.
I would never over tease. I would never suggest teasing two items in the same game. But if I were, I would tease the Bears down to a pick 'em, and I would tease the over
44,
down.
Right?
No. I would tease 44? The over down to 32. Yeah. Because that that's a very low total. That's a really low total.
I know Arizona
has only scored 6 points, but they can't be that inept just by
accident. With really low totals like this, I am more likely to take a six-point dog, you know, because in games where there's not going to be a lot of points scored, six points represents a lot.
I agree.
What a game like Detroit-New England, okay, maybe the 6 points could be, you know, they can get that working margin. Not in a game where the total is 38. 6 points is a ton in something that, you know, might wind up being 14-10.
As our buddy Gabe Morency likes to say, and maybe it's even Craig Carton says this as well, spread's talking to me. That Cardinals getting 6 at home is talking to me, and I'm not really I shouldn't be doing it because they've only scored 6 points so far this season. As you said during the break, Sam Bradford might not get out of this game alive. So
I gotta
suck it up and pick one, and we haven't even talked about it yet. But I'll take the Bengals getting 3 on the road.
I think they're playing
well. I don't think this is an easy spot for them, but I like the fact that they're an underdog and won their previous game on the road. I like the way they took care of business against the Ravens. Yep. So I'm forcing myself really to pick an underdog, and I'm doing that here with the Bengals. So I don't know if the Panthers.
I see it as plus 3. You got it as 3?
Yeah. That's what I got.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. So, Gio, you think Gio can do work there?
I think so. I think I like the way that Dalton engineered the passing game early in that game last week. So I don't know why they're playing well, but they are. You and I didn't have tons of confidence, but we got warm on the Bengals as the season went along. So I think they'll be a surprising 3-0 team after this week. So Mike and Dane will come back. We'll talk about things to watch for. And the phone lines are open. If you want to give us a call, do so at 844-843-6879. It's Mike and Dane on FST. We'll be right back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
What's the most important thing you can do today? How about swab to save a life? Every 3 minutes in the United States, a person is diagnosed with a blood cancer like leukemia. Bone marrow transplants give patients a new lease on life, but 70% of them must rely on a stranger for one. You can help. Register with DKMS to become a donor. You'll receive a swab kit in the mail, swab your cheeks, send the samples back, and you're good to go. Take the first step. Become a hero. Register today at DKMS.org.
Back on FST, take your calls here in a second, 844-843-6879. And I want you to head on over to dailyroto.com. It's something that I do each and every week prepping for the games ahead. It's a site that's produced $7 million winners, and click on Go Premium while you're there. So you're going to gain access to a line optimizer that helps you compose your daily fantasy roster on both FanDuel and DraftKings. Not only has DailyRoto.com produced 7 millionaires, but it's produced millions more in winnings for its subscribers. So if it's sports wagering you're into, click on the new sports betting tab. You'll be able to use the same tools and algorithms that's produced all those winnings for moneyline picks, picks against the spread, game totals, and player props, where you can capitalize on player performances without having to worry about salary caps. That's DailyRoto.com, and click on Go Premium, the industry website where millionaires are made, literally. And I chickened out of my Bengals pick, and I'm going with the Washington Green Bay over 45.5. That's talking to me a little bit. I will off-air change my pick if Aaron Rodgers somehow gets worse over the weekend. We will stick with 45.5, take the Bengals out, and insert Washington Green Bay over. So you said you had a question for me on that game.
I do. So I'm in a league where I have to decide between two players in this game. PPR, and it's not a great choice, all right? I admit it. It's not a great choice. I entered the season with Jamison Crowder as my wide receiver 3 in PPR
right
formats,
now.
And he has been a little bit frustrating, right? So I'm souring a little bit on him. My other option that I could put in is from this game, and it's a guy that I've kind of liked to ascend a little bit. And I'm building a narrative that makes me like it more and more because, you know, Josh Norman, one of the best corners, I think he may shadow Devontae Adams. Would you start Jamison Crowder or Geronimo Allison in this game?
My initial reaction is Crowder. I would probably run some numbers on that, but I think the projections that we have over on Daily Roto really like Crowder this week. So I'm looking it up right now.
He's just got like four targets a game. You know, he's just the targets aren't there. I thought he'd be the guy with the Alex Smith and the dump down. And the fact, to be quite honest, that they signed Breshad Perriman and Michael Floyd, I actually feel encouraged by that because it makes me feel that they don't like Dotson and Richardson, the outside guys. But Crowder, Thompson, Reed, the underneath kind of guys should be where my bread is buttered here with Washington. I'm encouraged by the fact that you like the over, but
yeah,
I don't know.
That's a real coin flip call for me. Yeah, in fact, the Daily Roto projections have them right next to one another.
And really?
They both have them around 11 points, 11 and a half points,
right,
is their projection on Daily Roto.
Which would be okay with me. I'd be okay getting 11 or 12 out of these guys.
Yes, no kidding. Yeah, I need double digits out of Jamison Crowder, but I'll stick with Crowder for now. I would not criticize you if you went with Allison, but that's the way I'm going to go. I'll go with Crowder to see maybe a couple more targets than Allison does.
Yeah.
I know.
But Allison has a better chance of getting in the end zone, you know what I mean?
I agree with that. I can't disagree with that. So
all right, well, thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Sorry I couldn't be more definitive, but I would go with Crowder. So, all right, we got this. We're going all the way to the top of the hour, and we're taking your calls right now. We got Patrick in Florida. Pat, how are you?
Man, how are you guys doing?
Pat in Florida, how are you doing?
Good. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah.
What's going on? What do you got?
All right. Who would you start, James White, Chris Thompson, this week?
James White or Chris Thompson? I assume this is a PPR league. This is really a value for both of those players. So what do you got here?
Me? It's Thompson. Listen, he had 14 catches. To my point, I was just saying, they don't like the wide receivers. We were just talking about this, right? And so I think Thompson is sustainable. I don't think he's going to catch 14 balls again. But I do think, you know, he could have the most catches on anybody in Washington this week. That wouldn't surprise me at all. And if you've been listening all week, you know, Patrick, that one of the things I am kind of predicting, I don't know if it's out on a limb at all, but I think this is when Sony Michel announces himself. So that's not to say James White won't have a role, because he definitely would. But in this one, I lean towards Chris Thompson.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go. Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks.
Good luck.
You agree, Mike? You agree?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think you laid it out perfectly. I got nothing else to add. Andrew in Boston. Andrew, I hope you weren't one of those guys that stole the banner from the Sox.
Oh, no, not at all.
What's up, man? What do you got?
How can we help you?
Antonio Callaway and Baker Mayfield definitely have a relationship and a good connection already.
Yes.
And the Browns have a good schedule over the next 6 weeks. Should I pick up Callaway?
I said earlier, we talked about it earlier in the show, Dane is saying that you should put Rashard Higgins on your watch list, and we both like the potential ascendance of David Njoku as Baker starts to generate more scoring drives. But with him receiving 10 targets last night, I think it's indicative that regardless of who is quarterback, Callaway's going to start in this offense. He's getting an opportunity to start. Now, if he flounders, I can't help anybody, including myself, but I would go ahead and pick up Callaway. You're going to compete on waivers this week, but I can tell you that in some of the leagues that Dane and I are in, a little bit more competitive, a little bit deeper leagues, Callaway was a big free agency acquisition this past week. So if he's still available in your league, absolutely put a bid in on him. Depends who you've got, as always, but I think he's absolutely ownable now.
Blewett, the one thing I'll add to this, Andrew was talking about this great Brown schedule, so I pulled it up. I only halfway agree with him. You know, like, I'm looking at their schedule. They get Oakland next week, so I like that. But then after that, the two right after that are Baltimore and the Chargers. So that presents a problem for some wide receivers at times. Then I think you're right, it goes back to Tampa Bay. So out of those next four games, I actually think two of them are tough. Tough defenses to face in Baltimore and the Chargers, but I agree that he could get behind Oakland and the Tampa Bay secondary.
Going on the road to pick up a win against the Raiders, I would love it if the Raiders went to 0-4 with losses against the Dolphins and the Browns here, because it just makes my
over-under
look almost.
We told people run to the under. John Gruden.
That was a hard under. That was a
hard under. It was for both of us. You know, John Gruden can't find the pass rusher, apparently.
Yeah, my huge mistake there, because one of our guys in the competition, all four of his picks early are looking pretty good. We know how that goes. If something's going to fall apart, but all four of his picks are looking good. The only bummer is I had the first overall pick, and I picked the Bucks instead of the Bills. You and I
didn't know about the Fitzmagic. You didn't know about the Fitzmagic.
How would I know? So All right, so let's see if we have any additional calls. Do we have?
I think we're cleared out for now.
Yeah,
I think
okay.
We cleared out for now, but if people want to join us, we do have another 5 or 10 minutes, 844-843-6879. You can find us at Mike Blewett, at Spittin' Speeds.
Okay, sounds good. So we will let's continue to take a look at some of these other games as we go through the weekend. So let's
you never know. You might change another pick.
No kidding. So that Bears-Cardinals game, man, what a disaster the Cardinals have been. I'd say based on personnel, I'm not saying Steve Wilks is undeserving of a head coaching job. He obviously interviewed in a lot of places. But based on personnel early on, I think that hire's looking like a rough one. So I think that's looking like a rough one here with the Bears and with the Cardinals off to such a rough start. You and I have talked about it. Bradford may not get out of this game alive. And I think ultimately we could see Josh Rosen this week.
Yeah, I think that's very possible. It could be very similar to what we saw in Cleveland last night.
In two games.
Yeah. At some point, and remember, and there's also all sorts of rumblings about David Johnson. Will they use him more on the slot? Things of that nature. So they're still trying to figure it out. Remember, Fitzy, he's going to play, but he's a little gimpy as well with a hamstring injury. Could we see a little bit more of RSJ this week? That could be intriguing.
Do we have another call there, Bavona?
We do. It sounds like we do.
Anthony in Boston, is that right?
I believe so. Let's get him out there. Anthony in Boston, what's up?
Nothing? Okay. We don't have a call there. So anyway, we'll keep going through these games. Yeah.
Oh, we do have a caller. Yeah, what's going on, man?
Yeah.
What's up?
You can't forget about Anthony out in Boston.
I tried.
No doubt.
I didn't hear you. We called
you out. No doubt. Unfortunately, the AL East champions reside in Boston.
Are you the guy that stole the banner?
Right. No, I'm not the guy that stole the banner, but, I mean, I would love to give it to Corey on this one.
we'll see. Just don't start David Price against the Yankees in the playoffs. That's all I'll say.
I'm a Yankees fan, so you can give me some grief.
Me
too.
Hey.
But
Puerto Ricans from the Bronx, we're all Yankees fans.
Yeah, that's very true. So I would say this, though, as a Yankees fan, a team that has won many, many divisional titles, they don't mean anything. So
right.
Hopefully you guys get it down to the
big one.
That's right.
That's
You got.
How can we help you for week three, though, Anthony? Yeah.
Yes. I have a question on starting wide receiver. I got Hogan versus Galladay. I need one of those to start.
It's a good one. What do you got?
Who are your other wide receivers? Because I might advocate to get them both in, to be quite honest. Who are your other wide receivers and flex option?
Devontae Adams, and then my flex option, I had Carlos Hyde. So the flex.
Oh, you already started him, and that worked out for you. And you only start two wide receivers, so it's got to be Adams and either Hogan or Galladay?
Yes.
That's a close one for me, Blewett. I'm just going to – the deciding factor for me is going to be what I expect the game script to be. I expect Detroit to be throwing the ball a lot in the second half. I think they're going to put it up. I think Stafford has more attempts than Brady in this one. I've told you guys. I've said it a million times this week. I expect Sony Michel to break out a little bit. So because I expect Stafford to have more attempts than Brady, that'll be the tiebreaker. So for me, Galladay. It would be so nice.
Yeah, I'm going with Kenny Galladay here too for the same reasons that he just mentioned. I think Detroit will have to put the ball up. By the way, just a little bit of a cleanup here on the way you're putting your roster together. Do not put the Thursday night players in your flex.
Thank you.
I don't care if he is the third best running back on your team. You have to put him in the starting running back.
The flexibility, just in case.
Exactly. You just don't know what's going to happen. It's happened to me before. It's happened to other people before. You end up locking up your flex spot, and then somebody, gets suspended or somebody gets hurt in a Friday practice out of nowhere, and then you're screwed with you've locked in your flex lineup. So make sure in the future, if you're starting a Thursday night player, wherever possible, put them in the starting lineups and leave the flex open so you can move guys in and out. So we're going with Galladay there over Hogan. Good luck, and we'll talk to you again soon. So,
hey, Blewett, real quick.
Yeah.
That's a great tip to tell people, this idea of you got to have that flexibility. Another one that I always tell people is I like to leave kind of a revolving door with the last roster spot. And what I will usually do, most league websites and formats allow you to do this. I will, going into Monday night, I'll just churn my last roster spot and take a completely speculative play on someone playing in the Monday night game. Because if it doesn't work out, so be it, you know, and I'll just use them and churn them next week. But there's a chance that, you know, you get a backup, right, and the injury happens, and then all of a sudden the guy that's a high waiver claim, you've already anticipated and gotten. It's helped me before on Monday night with things like Jacquizz Rodgers and stuff like that. So that's just another little tip out there. Churn that last spot and use Monday Night Football as spec.
I can appreciate that. So let's a game that we didn't take a look at. Broncos-Ravens, we started talking about that. Bengals-Panthers, we didn't really talk about too much.
You were picking them.
I'm not anymore. I'm off of the Bengals. So McCaffrey's getting targeted so much. Olsen is out. People went crazy over Ian Thomas, and nothing happened there. But just give me your thoughts, really, on these running back scenarios, because now we got McCaffrey versus Gio Bernard. Mark Walton was a waiver wire pickup for some people because he's going to be backing up Gio now. Thomas Rawls was added to that roster, but doesn't really have any fantasy value at this moment. So give me your thoughts, really, on Gio and McCaffrey.
Sure. I think there's PPR goodness to go around, right? We were talking about Chris Thompson and his 14 catches. Well, I believe CMC last week had 13, and that's going to be sustainable, guys. I've been saying he's an RB1 in PPR formats, okay, especially with the loss of Olsen. With Gio, don't give me this Mark Walton stuff. I think Gio is going to be the guy there. I'm intrigued, though, because Carolina's got a pretty stout front seven, so I don't know if he's really going to get off. I think if you picked him up on waivers, you got to start Gio this week because you picked him up for the next, 3 weeks? But that's my other point. I am a little bit – the roster move, Mike, that they made, picking up Thomas Rawls, does that give you any more concern about this Joe Mixon injury? Like, they made a roster move – signing someone, does that maybe make you think it's the longer side of this timetable? That's one thing I would ask. And then the only other thing from this game, on the Carolina side, don't sleep on Jarius Wright either as a slot wide receiver.
I get that. Yeah, he scored a touchdown last week too, right? So
yeah,
I would say that in general on the Thomas Rawls thing, I think they just wanted another veteran there. Now they injury waived Trey Carson, who's a relatively inexperienced back, but I think they know that Gio is a guy who's had some injuries. He can get banged up because he's a little bit of a smaller back. They'll probably share the ball a little bit with Mark Walton. Again, Gio will see the lion's share of the carries. I don't think Walton's a play at all this week, but I think they just want a little bit of a veteran presence there in Rawls.
Gotcha.
And if Carson was actually injured, then they just needed somebody in there. I don't think it challenges for touches or anything like that. And I think you were right to compare this injury to Sony Michel's. It's a very similar injury. I think you're looking at a month, maybe 5 weeks, and then you'll see him. But you have to understand that he's gone for the next few weeks.
Yep, fair enough. Hey, are you laying 17 points with this Bills-Vikings? I mean, we take him in Survivor, but against the spread, how do you treat a line this huge?
I think the Bills are terrible, and I think
But 17 is a lot.
I think you would never ever want to lay 17 points. Never.
So I mean, it's a pass for me also, right? But in any kind of, I'm in formats where I have to pick every game against the spread. If you had to make a pick,
it's 27-10. That's not unreasonable. That could mean that they're getting killed. That it's 27-3, and they're just running out
in the back door at the very end.
And Josh Allen throws a touchdown to Charles Clay, hopefully, with about 4 seconds left. There's your 17. You just pushed on it. Or actually, it's 17 and a half, right? So you lose on that.
I see it at 17 coming right now, unless the money's going to move. Do you wait for this to move to 17 and a half to get the hook?
I wait for it to move to 16 and a half and then bang out the Vikings. I think they're going to kill them. But,
I do too, but really 17, that's tough, man. There have not been many point spreads at this level. And this is like, if this was a college football game, okay. But in the NFL, 17 points, I don't know.
It's so tough. The money line for the Bills is plus 910.
Minus 1,500 for the Vikings.
What a crazy money line bet that would be. When the hell do you see that in an NFL game?
But here's the thing. Blew it to the point. Remember we were just talking about like in the under, well, the over-unders where the Chicago-Arizona game at like 38, 6 points then becomes a lot? The over-under for this game is 40.5. So 17 points becomes a lot. We think they're going to park the bus in the second half and give it to Latt Murray and stuff. They're gonna slow this one down. I think I'm taking the 17 points.
Why are the Ravens 5.5 point favorites? They didn't look good
they're
at all
at home
last week.
They're back at home, though. They're back. They're a different team at home than
that
they are on the road.
Still means Vegas thinks that they're
and Denver
better than Denver.
Hasn't gone on the road either. Denver hasn't gone on the road either. They are much different at home at Mile High early in the season at altitude. I saw this last year also. They were looking. Case Keenum was looking. Simeon was looking great the first 2 weeks. Then they lost at Buffalo week three.
Some interesting game props out there for those of you that want to take a look. Go to mybookie.ag. There's some really cool game props and player props and that kind of stuff. So good luck this weekend. Dane and I will be back on Tuesday. He'll be back.
Hopefully we go 3-0 too with our team.
But
we're going to be 3-0 hopefully.
Sunday. That's right. We will be. You'll hear me on Lineup Lock Live on Sunday. Talk to you soon, folks. Have a great weekend.